Thursday night, Chodesh Halvados. Shara Bitochon, Perek Revi. And he's going through the seven areas in which we apply Bitochon. Seven scenarios of life. A person for himself, his money, his relationships, his enemies, his friends, his employers, his employees, mitzvahs, olam haba, olam hazeh. He has a list of areas in which you want to apply bitachon. And the first area he spends a lot of time on, and that is a person's survival. How do I, my life, my health, the things that I need. I need shelter. Now, you're not talking about the seven-room house with the jacuzzi. But if you have 18 kids, then you do need a seven-room house, although you still don't need the jacuzzi. You need a mental health professional on call. But, no, I'm serious, though, that the word need, in the Chavis Alvavis' times when he wrote the Sefer, need could have meant a one-room house or a two-room house. And now you can't survive like that. So need, ironically, need is flexible. So we have to realize that. Okay, a person's need, he says that's a no-brainer, and he puts, so to speak, in all of these categories, what he's doing is he's going to be teaching us the balance about bitachon has to strike between a fatalistic, almost, bitachon. You say, I'm just relying on Hashem. Hashem's taking care of it. This is up to Hashem. I'm going to sleep. I'm not worrying about it. I'm going to sleep. And what we call hishtadlus. What do you mean? Hashem wants us to do things, as he developed in the third parak. He developed that whole idea. We spent a lot of time on it. And now he's going to, in chapter 4, which is applied bitachon, he's going to tell us, like workshops, you know, case scenarios. What does a Baal Bitachon think when this and this happens? So in the first area, he wants us to go like to an, you know, that's up to Hashem. Hashem gave you life. Hashem will give you money to survive. Hashem will give you enough shelter. Hashem will give you clothing. Hashem will give you, you could rely on Hashem to keep you alive. Just like he made you alive, he will keep you alive. That's the attitude of a Baal Bitachon. Like the most bitachon, the most intense reliance on Hashem in all of these things is going to be in area one. Then he says, wait a second. So you mean I could cross a highway with my eyes closed? I could not go to work? I could just stay home all day because Hashem wants me not to starve to death? And he says, no. Avada, the rules of Hishtadla still apply. Hashem wants me to create the channels through which Hashem's Gezerah, Hashem's din flows. That's Hisaskus Pasibos, he calls it in Paragimel or Hishtadlus. And then ironically he then emphasizes it. I guess because he's saying, since I stress so much that Hashem will provide and you can rely on Hashem to provide, just as he provides you with life itself, so you rely on him to provide you with enough money to survive, and enough clothing to survive, and enough dira to survive, and enough health to survive, and enough relationships to survive, if that's what you need to survive. Whatever you need, he's there. So then, why do anything? No. Avada, we don't throw away the rules of bitachon. The rules of bitachon are that I have to do what I have to do. And for some reason, I'm not sure why, he talks about, so the person won't work and will cross the highway, this is his kasha, so cross the highway with his eyes closed, or he'll jump into the ocean to go swimming, even if he doesn't know how to swim. And we're up to page Kuf Mem Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. The Torah addresses this specifically. This is a tremendous chiddush of a shot in this pasuk. The pasuk says, don't test Hashem. Normally, when we learn the pasuk, don't test Hashem, it's like we challenge Hashem. Well, it really is not a chiddush, maybe. You know, you think about it like, we test Hashem. You want Hashem to perform a miracle for us. Let me see if Hashem is really on my side. Let me see if He'll save us from this tzara. You can't test Hashem. Only in one inyan can you test Hashem, and that's in giving tzedakah. Hashem promises you won't become poor from it. You won't even have a net loss. He says, try him out. Say, okay, let's try it out this year. Let me give the amount of tzedakah that you're allowed to give al-pi halacha, because al-pi halacha you're not allowed to give too much. Let me give it. Let me see at the end of the year, I'll make my tax return, and let me see where I'm holding. You're allowed to test Hashem out in inyanei tzedakah. But except for that, you can't. So he calls this testing Hashem. Since Hashem wants us to take care of ourselves, wants us to be masasik besibos, and that includes eating healthy, shelter, all of these things. So you don't, that would be over the isser of testing Hashem out by crossing the highway and say, let me see, if Hashem was gozer that I should live for 70 years, so let you know, I'm going to cross the highway now with my eyes closed. So you're not allowed to do that. Now, that's a lot, but what's the theology of it? Because the Halavos insists that indeed, if there was a Gzar Din that you're supposed to live for 70 years, you can't change it. And if you read newspaper reports or you listen to news, there's plenty of cases of attempted suicide where the guy is unsuccessful. You know, he tries to slash his wrist. Segeitnish. He jumps out a window. Segeitnish is a great O. Henry story. You know, Henry, everybody knows O. Henry, I hope. You know, because we grew up in a generation where it was good. The great O. Henry story about a guy, a bum in the street. So he doesn't have shelter, he doesn't have a place to live. So he wants to get arrested. And he keeps doing like small petty things, loitering, like in those days, they arrested you for loitering. And he's loitering, and he spits on the sidewalk, but he's not a criminal, but he keeps on doing all these kind of things. And the police won't arrest him. It's like Christmas Eve, and the policemen all say, happy holiday. And he's going out of his mind. He wants a place to sleep at night. It's warm in jail. They give you food. He's going out of his mind. And then at the end, like I was saying, a guy commits suicide. He's not successful. At the end of the story, he does tshuva, and he wants to start a whole new life. And he then the police arrest him. Like, if you know all Henry's story, that's the whole genre of the surprise ending is how Henry was. Okay. So he says, so I'm saying, so the Chassid Halbovitz said, you know, if there really was a Gzar Din, you're going to live for 70 years, you can't commit suicide. You'll cross the street with your eyes closed, and the car will make a short stop, and there could be a pileup of 20 cars that smashed into each other, but you'll be safe, and a chanami. But you're not allowed to do that because Hashem wants you to take care of yourself. In fact, you're over a lot. He says, what? Right. So now, if you try to commit suicide, he says, one of two things will happen. Now, the truth is, the suicide, he said that. The suicide really is a trick. The Chassid Halbovitz could have discussed every murder. Like, the suicide is just because, I guess in the context, he's talking about a person taking care of himself. But we all grapple, Jewish theology, people grapple with the idea that, I mean, according to the Chassid Halbovitz, if Reuven kills Shimon, Shimon was going to die at that moment no matter what, unquestionably. And if Shimon was not supposed to die at that moment, Reuven cannot kill him. The gun would have jammed, there would have been a spot check by the police, and they would have seen the gun. He would miss the artery when he stabs him, and it'll go to... I mean, these things happen all the time. We don't recognize it for what it is. That the reason it wasn't successful is because the person was not supposed to die at that moment. Now, here he adds the knach that if you don't take care of yourself, you're really violating the will of Hashem. Now, and it could be, you see, it could be that you'll be punished for that. It could be if you treat your life so cheaply that you don't put bars on your window, let's say you treat your kids' life cheaply, you don't put bars on your window, or you walk, you take a stroll through Shechem or Ramla, you know, or Ramallah, which is it? I'm mixing the two. What? Ramallah. You take a stroll through Ramallah, so you're violating Hashem's will. So, you know, that might be the reason to kick in a punishment. But anyway, you were supposed to die at that moment. See, the Chodesh HaGolus' system is that everything is nigzar from beforehand, and nothing can happen to you if it wasn't nigzar from Hashem. So when Reuven kills Shimon, like just one of two things. Either Shimon was not supposed to die at that moment, and he will be unsuccessful, or Shimon was supposed to die at that moment, and he will be successful, but of course Reuven will be punished for murder. So he says, if you commit suicide, one of two things will happen. Either you'll be successful, and it will have turned out. Now, you were supposed to die at that moment anyway, but you did an Aveira, as surely as the murderer did an Aveira. Because you chose to do an Aveira. There's always, there's two concurrent issues, theological issues, in these inyanim. One is because the idea that there was a gzardin, you're going to die. So the you were going to die then. And if you weren't going to die then, it wouldn't happen. You're going to die then. Then you say, even if you were going to die then, but the person had bechira. No, you would have died a different way. And the person who killed you exercised his bechira. And if you wouldn't have exercised his bechira, you would have died in a car accident in that moment.
Right, but then would you not also say that in the case of Reuven killing Shimon, that Reuven actually
held
the
garden
against him as well,
or
something?
No, because Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Meir Shemayim. That's Bechira. That's the exception to this Yisod that Hashem decides and His goals are everything, has one major, major loophole. One major, major exception. And that's Bechira. To do good or to do evil. There's no gezeira what you'll do. There's Hashem's knowledge. In other words, Shimon's supposed to die on April 10th, 2010, at 10 o'clock. Hashem knows that Reuven will kill him. But that's a different philosophical issue. That Hashem's knowledge that Reuven will kill Shimon, and that's how the gzardin that Shimon will die at the age of 26 on April 10th, 2010. The Gzardin will be Mekuyim. That's how Hashem maneuvers the world. Because he knows that Shimon will die at that point in time. Because he knows Reuven will kill him. But that's not Machriach Reuven to kill him. Reuven still had free will. But and that's, as I say, that's a different theological issue of Hashem's Yediya versus your Bechira. But that's not what we're dealing with here. He will die anyway. No question. As I said, I told you, I say it over, you're sick of hearing it already. Like in the World Trade Center, the guy, I was in Asia Torah then. So the guys challenged me that, like, do I really think that if the pilot wouldn't have slammed into the building, so 3,000 people would have dropped dead of a heart attack at that moment? Like so I said, it's a foolish question, because Hashem knows what will happen. So if he would have been bocher betov and decide not to smash into the building, then Hashem would have known that, and the people would have led different lives. And who said they wouldn't have all been in the World Trade Center at 8:30 in the morning? One would have been in Pakistan, growing opium, and his competitor just killed him, you know, in order to take over his opium fields. One is in the Sudan as a Schwarzer, and he's getting whipped by his master, and he dies. They would have had different lives. But these neshamos, you're talking about these 3,000 people, neshamos, that's the people, they would have died at that moment, but they wouldn't have been in the world. Hashem, you know, knew, right? So they were all in one place, sitting at their desk, with the tie and the thing and drinking a cup of coffee. But if that wouldn't have been destined to happen, not destined, if that wasn't going to happen, then they would have had different lives. But there's no question they all would have died at that moment. That's That's a given, certainly according to the Chazal Chodovos, and I'm convinced that the Chazal Chodovos is normative hashkafa. And when people tell you that it is, I think that's that about Bechira could change if Zera is din, that's not normative. Okay, stop here. Go ahead. It's working.